Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. We have a fun lineup on the show tonight. Jacob's here. Aki's here. Doc Havoc is here. Sup? And Bree is here. And
happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Ooh, I like that one.
Yay. Hi, Bree.
Hi.
Happy birthday. Bree.
Thank you.
How's it going? Birthday.
It's going.
You're smiling, aren't you?
Yeah.
I could hear it. I
did a little
smile.
Dance to the song. Yay! I did a little. I mean, it's hard. It's hard to not smile when you're wearing a tiara. I have a birthday tiara I only wear on my birthday. So,
Really, Simon is demanding right now for pets. Really?
Teak is demanding attention right now, too, because, you know, she can see.
Teak always does, though.
Yeah.
He cannot survive without more attention.
What kind of fun birthday plans do you have?
Well,
did you have?
Well, I had a nice lunch. I had a nice dinner. I did some, you know, normal stuff around the house, played some games, you know.
Well hold on. You don't get to just say I had nice birthday meals. What kind of meals were they?
I had tacos.
Hell yeah.
Tacos.
And then I had Japanese hibachi.
Hell yeah. You had an awesome birthday so far in my book.
Yeah. And later I'm supposed to be playing party games on Xbox and drinking weird flavored sodas.
Horrific ones at that. Why don't you name some of this dog shit?
Would you like to hear the list? All right. So,
How come this isn't SodaCast?
But before you say the sodas, I want to say, like, I thought you were talking about, like, oh, I'm going to have, like, a strawberry banana soda, or I'm going to have, a chocolate soda. I thought they were, like, fun, exotic flavors. You got some weird,
they're disgusting.
Fucked up sodas.
They're disgusting.
All right, so we'll start out nice. We've got peanut butter and jelly.
Okay.
Oh, God. Oh.
Now go
pumpkin
hit the
pie.
Worst
one.
Oh, what? Why?
Pumpkin
why
pie.
Why would you do that?
Right, horchata. I
thought we were friends.
Bacon.
Okay,
that's probably pretty good, actually.
All right, wait. Ranch flavored soda.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Somebody hates you.
Cucumber.
Okay, that's
that could be
fun.
Okay.
They make cucumber flavored Gatorade, or they used to. Like it was fine. Yeah. It was just a nice light flavor.
All right, here's the really bad ones. You ready? Mustard.
Wait, hold. Now we're getting to the bad ones. All right.
You said ranch already. It was already bad, but
I'm getting to the worst ones.
Just weird.
Sweet corn.
That could be. I'm curious about that one.
I know. Black olive.
Oh.
Enchilada.
That's probably okay. So the person obsessed with Mexican food.
I know it's
and
weird enough
buffalo
that I can
see wings.
Like,
no.
And what?
Buffalo wings.
Buffalo wings doesn't surprise me because I've seen really weird flavored anything in buffalo wing flavor.
Right. So that's, and then there's black, there's coffee as well.
Oh, that's
coffee's fine.
Okay. Yeah, coffee's good. Coffee's good.
Coffee milk is fantastic.
All right. So where did all this crap come from? Are these like Jones Soda flavors or
Amazon?
It's called Lester's Fixins,
which is located in the very pits of hell, clearly.
They have more flavors as well that are weird, pickle. They have it was pickle juice. They have grass. I forget some of the others, but yeah, they've got some
grass soda.
Yeah, grass soda.
Oh, so Lord. So you're going to have fun tonight, aren't you?
Well, I hope, because right now Xbox is experiencing an outage and I may not be able to play party games.
No.
Oh, crap.
So they're experiencing some issues, so I'm keeping an eye on that.
Well, thankfully, some party games don't require Xbox servers, like the Jackbox games. Those just use Jackbox servers.
Sadly, I don't trust playing those anymore on stream after last year's incident. So,
do I even want to know? Moderation tools on them.
Yeah, even with the moderation tools, I still got targeted on stream, and that was not a fun night. So we're not going to do that this year.
That's fair.
Just close friends and, you know, just trying to keep it chill.
And fucked up sodas. Close friends are going to make you so sick.
the only thing I can contribute to the soda thing is that the other day I went to Jersey Mike's and they had a agave vanilla cream soda.
Oh, that sounds fucking delicious. That sounds
good.
Yeah. And I was a little hesitant because I couldn't remember exactly what agave tasted like.
Yeah.
Fuck it, let me give it a try. And it was disturbingly nice. Especially as a fountain drink. And Joe knows how much I dislike soda fountain drinks. Because usually the mixes are off and it just kind of tastes like ass. But this stuff is really good. And I wish I could remember what the name of the brand was. But I would recommend it.
Yeah.
If you ever happen upon it, if you like it. Give it a try.
I still think the best fountain drink you can get right now is if you could find a Coke Freestyle machine, go with Peach Mellow Yellow. Oh, it is so good. The hard part is finding a Coke Freestyle machine. Our Burger King had one and they got rid of it.
That's the one with like the big touch display where you can add all sorts of weird ass flavors. Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
The only machine that should exist for soda, basically. Yes.
Yeah. Apparently, they're a pain in the ass to maintain. That's why a lot of places get rid of them.
Yeah.
So is apparently the fucking McDonald's ice cream machine. So the fuck what? They still have that shit. I have a friend
whose job, he works for Coca-Cola and he services the machines. And yeah, he says the Freestyles are a pain in the butt. So
I can imagine. I mean, it has like 50 billion moving parts in it, I'm sure, because there's only like 50 billion different things that mix together.
But yeah.
The syrups all come in like little cartridges that you plug in. It's really neat.
And when it gets to about a quarter full, it probably tells you it's empty of it, just like a printer.
Then you have to shake the cartridge and put it back in. And it works for like another 10 uses. Then like low ink.
Then the paper's not printed properly.
So, Duck, how have you been? You haven't been on the show in a while. How's things going for you?
Things are going pretty fucking weird. Let's see. Within the past week and a half, I've had 3, if not 4, severe thunderstorm warnings and 2 tornado watches.
Yay! Ooh.
Nice!
One of which, well, not really. I live in upstate New York. That shit should be happening up here.
Less than nice. You are not anywhere close to Tornado Alley. Never mind.
Yay. Exactly.
After the first warning, I actually saw for lack of a better word or description, the weather system actually saw it trying to form as it was cruising down the valley that I live in, and it was pretty creepy. I mean, granted, I know there's people that live out in tornado country who are like, whatever, man. It was probably some,
me.
Pussy shit or whatever. But like, once again, like I'm in upstate New York. That you know, it's like
I'm in a valley. We're not supposed to get tornado warnings in a fucking valley when you're surrounded by mountains.
Yeah,
that shit's supposed to be broken up.
Yeah,
we're still getting warnings in our area too.
Yeah, it's like imagine someone out in the Midwest receiving, you know, hey, there's a possible earthquake with, you know, anywhere from a 6 to a 7.5 on the Richter scale. And I'm sure people out in the Midwest, if they ever got that warning, their reaction would be like, what?
Coltrane is on my lap again. I guess she needs a sound effect blip.
It's free real estate.
Yeah. Oh, we got another cat sound effect. Bean was hanging out by our food bowl, and we have a camera by our food bowl right now to make sure that Piddles is eating, and she just had surgery, and Ashley will go through and check the footage and see what's going on, and Bean made this sound.
Aww.
And that was the cutest thing we ever heard.
Very, very Mike-genic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now we have a bean sound effect too.
I was gonna say you gotta put bean in a recording booth. Get all the cute, adorable kitty sounds.
Is that exciting, Purnell?
Fucking yeah!
What about you, Jacob?
Yay! Okay, so that was actually a recording of me.
Yes, it is
fantastic. I love it.
Yay!
That's what I thought. I was just like, that doesn't quite sound like Kermit. That might be me.
Yeah, that's you.
I was going to ask, and yay!
So aside from the weather, how's things, Doc?
Yeah, things are going pretty good. Nothing too crazy. Just hot as balls and super humid.
Today was nice, though. Today wasn't, like, as hot as it's been. Like, sure. I was able to leave my bedroom and not get knocked on my ass by a wall of heat.
Yeah. Feels like walking into a sauna, but, oh, wait, it's the rest of the world.
Yeah. It's just upstairs. Yay. Oh, man. Should we get to news? There's not much news on my end. I don't know what y'all have. I only have like two things.
Damn, he didn't even ask Aki or I how, like, you know, how our weeks were or well, how our day was. You two don't
matter.
Rude.
It was Bree's birthday, so she matters, and Doc's a guest, so he met. Okay, Aki, how was your week?
Not great. I'm not feeling good.
What happened?
Just bad stomach issues.
No, food poisoning. Yeah,
probably.
Yay!
Very, very possible that I gave myself food poisoning. Yes, that is a thing that I have likely done. Yes.
Yeah, make sure it's not COVID.
It's not COVID. That would require me to actually go out and interact with a fucker, and I won't do that.
What about you?
Okay. Well, we took the kids to the National Aquarium in Baltimore today.
Yay.
So that was pretty cool. Especially my youngest, it's not like a dolphin show, like, you know, doing tricks and all that kind of crap like they used to do. Now it's more of like an educational kind of thing and just, you know, explaining how they work with the dolphins and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, at one point, they slightly splashed the crowd, and my youngest was like, I am done. Like, I am wet and cold. This is, like, I'm getting out of here. And we're like, sit your ass down. Like, but yeah, like, today's it was the pretty day
your
good.
Child learned how to say, this is bullshit.
he was fucking done. But yeah, like, both kids had a great time. I'm beat. I'm legitimately afraid I may fall asleep during like the reviews and stuff, so I'm really hoping I don't. Although it could be hilarious if I just start snoring on the podcast, but you know.
That'd be fun.
But yeah.
We'll wake you up somehow.
Yeah, I thought about that too before I hopped online. I was like, because I'm sitting in a recliner, so... You know, I'm more or less asking for it.
This is hard mode for you.
Yeah, I guess.
What's hard for me right now is my wallet.
These nuts.
Well, close. Because the Xbox summer sales started.
Yay. I didn't even look at it.
Yay!
Yay! There's like 1,300 sales. It's gross. I tried scrolling through the list earlier, and like the list was so big, it stopped halfway through, and it just gave up.
Yeah, it's a lot of stuff on sale for sure.
Yeah, it's pretty gross. I'm eyeing up Alan Wake. I kind of want to.
I suggest it.
The second one, or
yeah. Alan Wake 2.
Oh, because it's only like $10, isn't it?
The first one?
No, second.
Second one is still like $40.
Oh.
Yeah, huh. Alan Wake 2 is still new.
Weird. I thought it was like marked down like this stupid amount.
New? Okay. Nope. The deluxe edition's $52. That's what I'm eyeing up. But
worth it.
Blaze Blue is $12. I might jump on that.
That exists.
Yeah, it does. And then AI, the Somnium Files Nirvana Initiative is down to 24.
I suggest that.
So those are the three big ones I'm eyeing up. There's a couple others. Anyone else looking at stuff in the sale?
I don't have money.
I'm not looking at anything until the Xbox 360 store is offline.
That's fine.
That's like legitimately my focus until the end of July.
Well, you only got a few weeks left. And there's no more sales coming because Microsoft are cock teases. They're like, three sales are coming, and then two of them happened, and then like a third mini batch released, and that was apparently the final batch. So like eight games was the final batch.
Oh, so I might as well just buy what I'm looking to buy on there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, there's nothing else good coming.
I was really disappointed by that, and I've got a feeling that the July 16th was kind of like a, all right, anyone who's not already on board, this would be a good time to hop in, and nobody, like, anyone who actually gave a shit about what was left, like, they, no, like, I'm sure, like, those were the only devs, like, for the maybe May and the June ones, and I'm sure that either there wasn't enough, or nobody bit, and so they were just like, oh, here's the Activision games, hope you're happy.
Even the Activision games, the prices are awful. They're still, like, $15, and $10, like,
yeah, but I
games
heard
that are a dollar.
I heard that Singularity, like, on disc is going for a decent amount, though.
Not that I saw. I thought it was going for like $30.
Okay, so
it recently went up.
I had heard like 40, but like, it's still $40 ain't bad.
I don't think it's worth writing home about.
Yeah, but I'd still sell my copy, like, and just pick up the digital version.
Yeah.
I'd sell my copy and I wouldn't bother with it again because I've already 100%ed that game. It's not bad if you haven't played it. It's a pretty decent game.
I think the only two out of the Activision I cared about were Blood Drive and Singularity.
For me, it's Singularity and the one Spyro game.
Spyro game is good. Well, I'm so bummed also, that's not
also like how much it costs. Yeah, I'm a little surprised by that. Or that, like, they didn't, like, put out, like, a remastered version or something like that. Like, you'd figure it was easy money.
Yeah.
And
what?
Oh, I don't know. I just kind of trailed off on that.
Okay. The other news I have, Xbox Game Pass. Just a handful of games were announced, but it appears to only be this week, so we might get another update before the end of the month. This week, Tuesday, we got Magical Delicacy and Flock.
Yeah.
We already knew about those, but, July 18th, today, we got Flintlock, The Siege of Dawn, and Dungeons of Hinterberg.
I've heard good things about all four games.
Vivinness. Nice.
Well, we'll hear about Dungeons of Hinterberg later on in the show. Nice. But tomorrow we got one more game coming with Kunitsugami Path of the Goddess. So five games in 1 week, and they were all day one launches. That's a pretty good week. And it makes me wonder what we'll see the rest of the month, because there is nothing else listed for the rest of the month. Yeah. Maybe we'll see more. Three games are leaving at the end of the month. Train Sim World 4 is leaving. Venba is leaving. And this one's a bummer because it's really good. A Short Hike.
Yeah, I would also recommend Venba. It's a very quick completion, and it's just a good cultural slice of life.
A Short Hike in Venba you can finish over the weekend. Go play those people. The other game
you could knock out in a few hours. That's a really cute game.
Well,
yeah, I haven't finished that one yet.
Both of them you can finish in a few hours, realistically.
I took a very short hike into a short hike. It was called a dive, in fact. And then I haven't gotten back to it. Yeah, I did that last year, and then I haven't gotten back to it yet.
Now's the time.
Yeah, well, I own it, so I'm good, but yeah.
Okay, later's the time. yeah, that's all I got for news this week. I didn't really keep up with things this week. Just, I don't know, I didn't see anything that caught my eye. Bree, any news on your end?
I have two things. One, the Fallout TV series earned 16 Emmy nominations, including Outstanding Drama Series, Lead Actor in a Drama Series for Walter Goggins as the Ghoul, and other nominations included Sound, Costume, and Production Designs. So,
Damn, you got some award recognition, because that dude's been doing shit forever.
Yeah.
Like, he's always like that guy. It's like, oh, hey, I've seen that guy. I've seen that guy. He's in this. He's in that. He's in this. He's never like the main character, but goddamn, he's in so much good shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, Walton Goggins is off. So.
And then there's a giveaway going on through Xbox with Deadpool. And if you have to see the controller, it is Deadpool's ass.
Derriere.
Yeah. Yeah. So I hope that holds extra batteries.
controller has butt cheeks.
It's pretty large. It does.
Yeah. It just takes one D battery.
It has D memory battery. Foam or no, something.
It's like a variation of the Duke.
It's at least C battery sized. But yeah, that's Hockey. All the news I had.
Hockey, what Nothing. News do you have? Nothing. That's shocking. Ian, any news on your end?
Not really. But then again, I've been, you know, watching out for weird weather phenomenon.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know, I'm more worried
you have bad weather in your area tonight, too, don't you?
Yeah, I have been experiencing thunderstorms, so hopefully the power lasts, but yeah.
I'm waiting for it to like just disconnect mid-sentence. Like, I hope nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jacob, news, what do you got?
All right. So, the International Olympic Committee has announced that noted a country with a stellar human rights record, Saudi Arabia, is going to be hosting the inaugural Olympic Esports Games in 2025. Supposedly, they're going to be awarding stuff for Rocket League, Street Fighter, and League of Legends, at least. But they're trying to get other devs on board.
Interesting.
Cool.
I mean, I guess.
I mean, it's a place filled with man children inviting a bunch of man children to come play a children's game. Awesome.
Which one is the children's game?
Oh,
yes.
All of them, isn't it?
I mean, Rocket League, Street Fighter, and League of Legends were the ones that
I don't see anything have been for named children. So far. I don't see like Baby Shark or Brats. Those are children's games. That's
I haven't played League of Legends lately, have you?
Don't be gatekeeping wieners.
For games that aren't supposed for children, there's a lot of quote unquote children that play those games.
Yeah. Also, the Brats game was really solid. Just saying.
Yeah, it was. I really enjoyed it.
Right?
And the Rainbow High game. I really enjoyed both.
I need to finish Rainbow High. That one didn't capture me quite as much as the Brats game did.
Yeah, I mean,
the cool thing is, since you mentioned Brats,
I think I liked Rainbow. You know what? Rainbow High I liked more. There's more crap to do in it. Like, because you have to do like all the locker hunts. And I like that I actually had to take 30 seconds to really seriously think which of those two games I actually prefer.
He wants to do a giveaway and you'll cut him off.
Who am I cutting off?
That's fine. What? You don't have to do a giveaway.
No, do the giveaway because I want to enter it.
Oh, I didn't know that we're doing a giveaway. I'm sorry.
You're a wiener. Jeez. I said, speaking of Brats, flaunt your fashion. The wonderful people at Outright Games hooked us up with an Xbox copy of the game to give away. So we're going to be doing a giveaway for that in chat. Pay attention in chat. We're going to be doing that giveaway shortly. But yeah, shout out to Outright Games for hooking us up. It's fun to be an ambassador for them, even though we're probably the most adult ambassadors they have.
Yeah, yeah. We never get featured. I mean, like, our logo's been shown once on a brand ambassador thing.
Well, that's the amount of times fuck, we shouldn't be.
Well, we don't let you talk during the children games reviews. And we don't we don't feature any of your SML After Dark games either.
Yeah.
So honestly, it's questionable that y'all ever let me talk, period. But
also, yeah. But anyway, back to the news.
Yeah.
So a bunch of data from Disney got stolen via Slack, the messaging program that a lot of businesses use, and they apparently downloaded at least 1 terabyte worth of information. And combing through it, we now have an unannounced Aliens Fireteam Elite sequel that we know about. So that's cool.
Interesting.
I don't know if there's anything else that's been taken from that. Ubisoft has revealed that they are no longer going forward with a TV show based on the Driver series. And them pulling out on that means that the production company is also dead. So
yeah,
there's that. Halo is not getting a third season.
No. It shouldn't have gotten a first.
Yeah, no, I watched 15 minutes of the first episode, and I just never went back to that. I was like, oof, this is cosplay with a yeah. budget.
It's part of that whole, we're going to
bastardize pretty much everything.
Yeah, we're going to bastardize everything and then blame the fans.
Yeah.
Movement.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
No, I was just clearing my throat, sorry.
Oh, and also, I can't remember which one it is, but I've heard a rumor that it's either Halo, the plot that they used for Halo Season 1 is a rejected script for Picard Season 1, or it's vice versa. And I can't remember which one I've heard, and I was just like, oh, shit, once you hear that, like, it makes sense.
That's weird.
Yeah. Well, the very first season of Star Trek Picard is very, like, honestly, it yeah. feels more Mass Effect than Halo, but I think with how much they fucked around with the first season of Halo, I could see it.
Honestly, I'm just tired of places being like, oh, yes, let's make a show of the series. We're not going to consume anything about this fucking series, but we're going to make a movie, a show about, no, fucking consume the shit and then make it. If you aren't going to consume it, you aren't going to respect it. Fuck off.
It's like The Witcher. I mean, that could have been an amazing series, but apparently they gave it to a bunch of writers who proactively mocked the hell out of the source material. And it's like,
yeah, the only reason it was even halfway decent the entire time it was because Henry Cavill is a super major fan of not only the games, but the books as well. Otherwise they would have bastardized it even more, because he's outright told people some of the things that they would have done. He was like, no, you can't do that. It's the same for the Wednesday Netflix show. Mm-hmm. I think it was called
Wednesday. I heard about that. Yeah, Jenna Ortega like flat out refused to film scenes because like, no, this is not true to character and I am not doing this.
Yeah. And the creators sat there and shit talked her after the show came out because she was so hard to work with. Like, you fucker should be on your hands and knees kissing the very ground she fucking walks on.
Yeah.
That you didn't fucking wreck this, you rat bastards.
Well, that's another thing. Like, if you dig hard enough, you could find the counter discussions about the showrunners talking about how quote unquote difficult and disagreeable Henry Cavill was.
Yep.
And just reading their testimonies is just an absolute laugh, because if like you've ever seen him in an interview, if you've ever seen him like interacting,
he's just the nicest person.
Yeah, he is such a chill guy, and like nothing, and you could just tell by these testimonies that like they are just so full of shit. like they have such a grimy lens with which they're viewing.
Yeah, if I had a property and was like, and someone was like, I want to make a movie of that, I would ask them basic shit about the media, and if they couldn't answer them, I would tell them to go fuck themselves.
No,
that should be the bare minimum. You should be able to answer studio basic heads don't stuff. Care.
Yeah,
they should, because when they don't, you get shit like Halo, which most people didn't fucking renewed, like.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Well, I mean, well, that's the issue, because you have like a lot of people, you know, trying to make their way up the hierarchy, and they're willing to accept any job if it's an advancement, even if it's for something they don't like.
Oh, anyway, there are a few more news bits Thimber mentioned in chat. New Yakuza game is coming.
Oh, hell yeah. I didn't know about that. Let's hear it.
That's all we know right now. It's coming. It's happening.
Okay.
I think it's going to be announced at one of the like Tokyo Game Show or Gamescom or one of the shows coming up.
I thought Tokyo Game Show already happened.
I don't. That's why I said I don't know, because I don't remember the news. The devs of Rain in Your Parade have a new game coming out.
Crow Things.
I know you're excited about that one, Bree.
Yeah, I'm super excited for anything Unbound Creations puts out, honestly. But yeah, just Crow Things is supposed to be coming out soon. August 15th, I believe, is the date.
Very nice.
So.
Yeah, I loved Rain on Your Parade, so.
Yeah,
hopefully same. This one turns out good. But yeah, any other news, or should we move on to reviews?
Let's do the
reviews. I guess we could do the reviews.
All right.
I apparently can't talk. That's cool.
What? You have more news?
No, I do not. Oh, no. I meant I couldn't talk because like my tongue was getting tripped up on my lips and my teeth.
I thought you were like, oh, I'm not allowed to tell my news.
No. Although now
because I was cutting you off completely. I don't want you to talk anymore.
Is there no movie watch news or Sonic TV show news or any of that shit?
It's Bree's birthday and we have to get to reviews news. Mm-hmm. She has shit to do.
Yeah, fair. We're so fucking cheap. We're gifting her time for her birthday.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, first game to talk about tonight is Chia, developed by Awaseb, published by Kepler Interactive, released July 10th on Series X and S in the Windows Store for $29.99. Join Chia on her tropical open world adventure as she sets off to rescue her father from a cruel tyrant. Climb, glide, swim, and sail your boat around beautiful islands as you explore a physics-driven sandbox. Take control of any animal or object you could find, make new friends, and jam on your fully playable ukulele. Poetic coming-of-age story inspired by New Caledonia. Bree and Aki, both of you played this one, and we actually covered this a while back on PlayStation and PC. I'm thrilled it's finally come to Xbox. I believe it recently hit Switch as well. Bree, how about you start us off? Tell us, what is Chia?
So yeah, it's inspired by New Caledonia, which is an island in the Pacific Ocean, and the game is deeply inspired by the culture and is voiced by local talent in the native languages. You'll also get music performed by traditional artists and choirs. Some things have been changed out of respect to the culture and to make the game accessible to audiences around the world. The story starts in a refuge for lost children where a new boy is doing his best to understand his new life. And the older lady starts telling all the children the legend of Chia. So we start out and it's Chia's birthday and our dad gives us the first tool. It's a slingshot. The game is mostly wholesome and encourages us to use our tools wisely and not be a jerk. Although there is totally an achievement for hitting a bird with a slingshot.
Yep.
And then we get a glider.
That achievement? Because I have not been able to get that
did.
One.
Yeah. It was one of the first ones I got.
Fucking hard to do.
Oh, even harder is the jump, the soul jumping one. That one was harder for me. But yes.
I sat there on the first island trying to shoot a bird in the sky for almost an hour.
I just found one on the ground and waited until I got close and it took off. And then I hit it from there. Yeah. But then we got a glider made of woven coconut leaves. We can play with that. We learned to play our first rhythm game with some fanning leaves as a percussion instrument. And we're on a beautiful small island and everything is chill and lovely until our friend Trey comes to visit with supplies and is followed by the villain who steals our dad. And then eyes glow and she turns into a knife and hits the villain in the face before getting kicked off the plane into the ocean. It's very dramatic.
And awesome.
Yeah, we wake up in Trey's camp island. We find him some pearls as a thank you gift for saving us. Part of the culture is that's used as a quest mechanic is called the Kutum. It's a ritual where you meet people, you give them gifts as respect and thanks. And Trey tells us we have to go because it's not safe for us there. And we need to go find Mayavora to get back our dad. And he teaches us about stacking rocks, a mini game that we use to unlock soul melodies. And he gives us a boat and a flashlight and sends us toward the main island to search our father. The story has a lot of comedic moments with beautiful musical celebrations to help break up some of the tension and the drama in the story. And once we get the first main quest done, we find ourselves on a mysterious island inhabited by totem spirits called Mwakin. We eventually earn the power to jump into them and shoot soul fire. I thought that was a really cool mechanic. As it turns out, we were supposed to be a sacrifice to the evil Mayavora, who has powers and eats babies. And we need to save our new island friends and our dad now, because we've made Mayavora angry, knowing that we were once a promised snack that he missed out on. Once you get the hang of sailing and reach the first main island, the world is completely open. You can choose to follow the plot or just explore the world and unlock and find all the things. It is a huge space to explore, and I found myself sort of aimlessly wandering and unlocking locations Elder Scrolls style. And then collecting all the locations and items was a bit like Assassin's Creed, but family-friendly somehow.
I have a question, because you got much further in this game than mm-hmm. I did. While I was playing, I was able to find some collectibles and stuff by looking at the map and going and finding them. But the map kept saying, oh, your last position was here, which was way away from anywhere I had been for like the past 10 minutes. Does that get any better? Does that actually ever say, hey, you are here?
It does. I'll talk about that. Let's see. Let me find that in my notes.
Thank God, because I hated that. And I was like, I don't like that.
Unless you're on a boat, you have only a rough idea where you are on the map. You can set pins and pull up your compass to navigate, but it does not hold your hand at all. And it was a bit to get used to, for sure. At certain map points, you can get the point of view, which is also an Assassin's Creed-y kind of thing, where you do a shout and it'll mark points of interest. And from your last shout, it will also give you a better idea of where you are that'll pinpoint. But yeah, it does not hold your hand with the navigation, for sure.
Okay.
Thankfully, sailing your boat is pretty easy. Your boat can also be respawned at docks if you lose it. And if you fall off, don't worry, because there's a failsafe and it will not sail away from you. Once you unlock docks, they also act as fast travel points. So you can travel by boat, on foot, swimming, by possessing animals with Shia's special powers. You can possess a deer or a boar to run fast. You can hijack a bird and fly, so long as you have the soul power to do so. Different animals have different abilities for you to use as well. Dogs can dig, chickens lay explosive eggs, and a bunch of birds turbo poop. I don't know how else to say it. I don't know the function of it, but I had a lot of fun doing it.
Is to ruin a bunch of people's days.
Yeah.
That is its only function.
Birds do poop.
Yeah, it is rapid fire. It's fantastic. And you can pet all the animals, like all of them, even the scary ones. I pet crabs, I pet giant centipedes.
You can't pet all of them. You can't pet birds. I've tried.
Well, yeah, you can. If you can get close enough to them, I have, because I can.
I was able to pick up birds, but I couldn't pet them.
That's the other thing. You can pick up all the things. You can pick up a boar and stow it in your backpack.
Yeah, that was one of the first things I did. It was funny.
I still have a dog in my backpack.
Oh yeah, I had a fish in there for the longest time, and I was going to deal with some enemies, and I pulled out a fish instead of an explosive rock. And I was like, well, that's not going to help. And it just sort of like flopped around after I threw it at the enemy. And I'm like, all right, whatever. Because not everything is friendly on the island. Mavora's minions called the Mono are out to get you. They're made of fabric and they're easy to burn in their camps, which also gets you cool collectibles for your efforts when you remove the threat from the local area. You get lots of customization in Chia in terms of costume, hair, and musical instruments. You can customize your boat at the docks. I got a crab sail. You know I had to use it. There's also a crab costume I need to figure out how to unlock. That's one of my big goals.
Is there a Krabby Patty?
There is not. Not that I have seen. I know. There's also some pirate stuff you can get together. Yar. But yeah, no, they have these big blue coconut crabs, and I really enjoyed petting them and, possessing them. And just being a crab. Also, there's the mini game I mentioned earlier where you stack rocks and you get these soul melodies. One of the soul melodies I learned spawns a crab just in out of the sky.
Nice.
Hot crab content. Fires act as rest spots to change your clothes, sleep, eat, play some ukulele tunes. It's also, the game has an auto save that is pretty good, and it has a manual save option on top of that. There is chapter select and the ability to skip story segments. I don't know why you'd want to do that, but that's an option. There's a family mode that reduces the intensity of specific scenes, which is a good thing because they straight up just like cut the head off a chicken. And then that becomes a source of comedy later because the chicken body just like continues going. Oh, geez. And it goes for a while. There's aim assist options, a no fail mode to make certain things easier, infinite soul meter. You can also change some key bindings if you need to. So there's some good accessibility stuff there. So let's see. There's a lot going on in this game. You've got rhythm games, playing your ukulele or just tapping and stomping with percussion instruments. During those scenes where you're playing, if you so choose, you can switch to autoplay, which is great because a lot of the songs had lyrics with subtitles because they weren't in English. They were in the native languages.
And they are long, full songs.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. So it was nice to be able to switch to that and just enjoy the scene. Oh, there's like a little cooking mini game. There's a camera. There's the enemy camps to clear. You've got treasure maps and keys, the rock balancing. Let's see. There were caves you could dive through into the ocean and in between places. There's totem shrines that you unlock by carving these totems to match the door. The doors lead to a mystical realm with challenges inside. I got to ride on this mystical creature that was like part snake, part bird, and you fly around. It was so much fun.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, we have some stats. You got climbing endurance, breath duration, fall resistance, and stamina. And there's the stamina fruit all over the islands to help improve on that. And there's some soul fruit to help with your soul powers as well. We talked about the navigation. Was a little challenging at first, but it's an open world. There's lots to do. And it's also a bit of a collectathon. It took a while to grow on me as a game, but it was pretty. I had fun exploring and collecting. It was a little too open in the beginning, and I had a rough time navigating and finding the plot. Once I got the majority of that down, though, and everything came together, I had a grand time possessing animals and moving my way to victory. So I did have a couple of dashboard crashes and some issues with the game would freeze or stutter, but nothing game-breaking. I had a really great time with it.
A couple times, too.
I did a lot of silly things. Yeah.
The worst part about one of the stutters was I was working to try and get the achievement for completing one of the rhythm games without messing up. So I was like, oh, I'll do it with the ukulele because maybe it'll work on one of the first ones you do. And it stuttered and I missed two notes because it stuttered. And I'm like, you did not. And I had to replay it and I ended up having to do it like four or five
times. That sucks. Yeah. I still haven't gotten that achievement. I got 99%. Like, I missed one note like two times, and I was just like, yeah.
I didn't get the achievement either.
Yeah.
You can't do it on the first few of them, apparently.
But yeah, you can also, and I forgot to mention, you can inhabit inanimate objects as well. And I inhabited a trash bag, and you can then throw the item. And I threw it into a trash bin that I had knocked over. And so, like, I managed to, like, throw myself in the trash, essentially. Like, you pop out of the last second. But you can also dive into a dolphin and swim around. Like, it's a lot of fun just being in the world. So, yeah.
But you can't jump into a gun and shoot the bad guy, sadly.
No, but you can leap into a flaming log and attack the bad guy.
I approve wholeheartedly.
Yeah, that was my main tactic for killing the mono, so, yeah.
Aki, your thoughts?
Yeah.
I didn't get to play a lot of the game, because, you know, I was busy not having a TV for a while. so I didn't get anywhere near that far into it. Remember the part where we talked about, you know, and after you're kicked into the sea by the bad guy, you wake up on his boat. Yeah, that's where I was.
Oh, gee.
Yeah, I'm like a half hour or so into the game. I spent so long trying to shoot that fucking bird, and I probably shouldn't have done that. But I was like, the bird is here. This achievement can't be that hard. And then I kept missing it, and I'm like, you son of a bitch. And I was like, I'm not giving up. And then I
eventually gave up. So it was a bird hunting simulator. What do you think of Chia?
Man, it is hard. I don't know how y'all had such an easy time with that. It makes me upset.
I forget, when you jump, time slows down. So you scare the bird, jump, and then shoot. Wait, what?
Damn it. I knew that.
Bree, Chia is $30. What do you think of it?
It's a buy it for me. I had a good time with it, and I'm looking forward to playing more this weekend.
Very cool. And if people are on the fence, it is on Game Pass.
Yes.
Yay.
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 Next game. I can't help it. All right. Next game to talk about is Skim, developed by Ewald Vanderwerf. Oh, my God. And Nils Slickerman. I think
it's the Dutch company, so yeah.
I am so sorry to the devs. Published by Extra Nice and Playism, released July 18th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC. And I forgot to look up the price. Oh my heavens!
I believe it's $24.99. Can look it up while I'm talking. But yeah, I looked it up earlier.
Skim is a game about jumping from shadow to shadow in a relaxing and lively environment. This 3D platformer takes elements of light, shadow, and animation and adds them directly to the gameplay, delivering an experience that you will only find in Skim. Bree, tell us about your time with Skim.
Yeah, your Skim is like a living shadow, the soul and spirit of an object for a living person. And your Skim hops around into other shadows and takes the form of little googly-eyed frog. Reminded me of the concept from Peter Pan about your shadow being part of you and also being able to be separated from you. You learn through doing what your Skim can only, that your Skim can only get so far away from you, and you want to get back to your thing. You'll run into the Skims of other objects and can jump in and out of the shadows. You also can't get too far away from the shadows, like you get two hops. And you need to hop in and out strategically to get to your objective, which you can always see by pressing the right trigger. Your Skim can help you do things like hit the buttons on the crosswalk light that you can't reach because you, the thing attached to the Skim, is a little boy. And then you see this montage and your human grows up, falling in love and experiencing heartbreak and going to college and getting his first job and then getting fired. And in general, a human starts to have a really unfortunate series of events that lead to him losing his Skim. So we need to find our human by hopping into the shadows and traveling further with the aid of moving objects like bikes or cars or walking people. You get your two hops to get to a safe place, or you reset to the last safe spot. Sometimes in order to find a path, you have to interact with objects in the shadow. Like, you can turn the headlights on in a car to create a shadow so that you have a place to move to further. Or you could get into the transformer box and turn on the streetlights. You might be able to use objects to propel you further, like there's a little, I don't know, like a hatch or something, and you can use it to kind of spring and throw you further than you can hop. You might need to make some speedy moves through the shadows of moving things. You can rotate the camera to help you find a good path. You meet animals and other Skims and find things along the way, like beach balls and backpacks. Music is quirky and cute. There is no dialogue, so the narrative is given through visual means, and it's very expressive with the use of color and movement. The art looks like hand-drawn line art with highlights and splashes of color. It's not all black and white, though. It's like sepia and other tones that don't hurt your eyes. Some color palettes were better than others. But if your eyes are bothered, there is an option to change the colors in a scene, which was really nice. You could, you know, if you don't like the blue-green kind of color, you can change it into like a purple or something, and it'll keep the sort of general color tones. It'll just shift it into the other color. It'll keep the lighting, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. The achievement list is playful and encourages you to explore. It wants you to do things like honk car horns and jump in the water and push litter out of the trash bins and spray things with a hose. There is a level select so you can go back and find all the things hidden in the shadows. It's a 3D platformer of a different kind. It's fun trying to puzzle your way through the levels. The game allows you to take your time and play, but sometimes the game seems a bit formless. Overall, I had a good time with it.
Well, it clocks in at $24.99. What are your thoughts on that?
I feel like the perfect price would have been $20, but I think it's still a buy it for me.
Very cool. This one seems really interesting. I've had my eye on it for a while. The visual style and just jumping from shadow to shadow, it feels like something you would have done as a kid, like in your head.
It is so playful. It is. It's very much that kind of mentality. And I don't know how else to describe the playfulness of everything that is going on. And like, you have the ability to kind of move in and out of these spaces, and you don't have to go towards the objective. You can just like play around in the shadows and honking horns and like all of those different things. It's a very playful thing, like you would play as a kid. So yeah,
I could imagine myself as a kid jumping from shadow to shadow. Mm-hmm. Like the floor is lava kind of game.
yeah, very much. Very much.
All right. Next game, Disaster Band, developed by Productive Killer Studios, published by Sundust, released July 11th on Series X and S, Switch, PS5 for $9.99. There's nothing wrong with playing wrong. With the creative freedom to play any note at any time, you can practice and improvise in absolutely every song while you explore the music. Don't forget, practice makes perfect. Bree and Jacob, both of you played this one. Bree, how about you start us off? What is Disaster Band?
The opening song is called Derp Derp, and that's a fitting enough song to describe the vibe of the game.
All right, $10, your verdict. No.
It has hand-drawn school notebook doodle aesthetic. Your character is a stick figure. There's stock footage videos in the background as you play. The only color is on your instrument, and then the notes themselves. Everything else is black and white and gray. It is very different from what else I've played from this developer. By the way, last year around this time, they came out with Garden Simulator. This is not anything like that. So now they've got this rhythm game akin to Trombone Champ. Notes come on the screen with a start and end dot and a bar of length between them, and then you adjust pitch by steering with the left stick, and then you hit the A button to follow along with the pitched notes. When you hit notes, you get ratings like exquisite, delicious, ordinary, yuck, and nope, and it farts when you fail the notes, as Jacob discovered.
A lot.
Yeah, there are three difficulty settings. You have auto-tune hero, where the pitch is auto-set and you just need to hit the rhythm. And so that's
which I didn't realize that. I thought it took care of literally everything. And so
yeah,
it was, yeah, my first two songs was just nothing but farts. So
you have guided chaos. That's the medium difficulty. It gives you a pitch aim assist. And then you have freestyle fiasco. That's the hard, where there's no aim control. On the pitch, you have to do everything yourself. I was not good at that one, but no. I could hang with some medium difficulty, just a little bit. You've got 15 different MIDI instruments like recorder, theremin, timpani, trombone, strings, guitar, kazoo, or you can whistle or sing. There's some other obscure instruments, and of course, cat, which features Yay. A human holding a cat and adjusting the pitch with a tail. And you can make your dream jam band up to four instruments. Single player and online multiplayer with lobbies for duets, trios, and quartets. The online's not very populated, but it is cross-platform and has server connections by region. You can make private lobbies. Found some people to jam with. We got some achievements. We did good. Well, the notes maybe.
We did good. Well, Jacob didn't.
Well, yes.
No. I did horrendous all the time.
And the notes may be different for your friends depending on the instruments you've chosen. So it's kind of becomes this clusterfuck of notes on the screen. And
it was and hilarious. You're like,
oh, the green ones are mine. All right, cool. It took me a second to figure that out. You can also adjust the sliders of your bandmates' audio in case you really just don't want to hear their bad playing or their choice of instrument. Like, if you were just sick of cat, I would totally understand. Speaking of achievements... let's see. It was a really easy list. You can do them all on auto-tune.
I was disappointed by the achievement list. There's achievements for four different instruments in the game. Playing for 3 minutes, or yeah,
three minutes, 15, and an hour. Yep.
I would have rather them get rid of those hour ones and just add more instruments. Like, make me play as the cat. Make me play as theremin.
Yeah.
Like, make me explore all the instruments in the game, not just... four of them. Like maybe they'll add more instruments and title updates. That's entirely possible. We see a lot of developers do title updates and add achievements. I hope they do, because I'd love to revisit this and get more achievements. Same. And it's just goofy and hilarious. Jacob, what are your thoughts on it?
I thought it was weirdly fun. I especially liked going into the creator section. I mean, I can't create shit for this, but I enjoyed seeing what other people were coming up with. And
you get community songs on mod.io that people can upload their own MIDIs. You have to do it on a PC though.
Yeah.
I'm real curious about copyright on that.
The Imperial March was up.
and the background footage is all from the Star Wars movies, and I'm just like, I don't know. I'm real surprised Lucasfilm let this happen, and I suspect that they also didn't. So,
yeah,
grab that while you can.
Most of the music renditions are like classical and unlicensed tunes.
Public
like you've
domain
got Blue
stuff.
Danube, Ride of the Valkyries, Amazing Grace, Silent Night, you know, stuff like that. They also have like silly, wrongly attributed quotes on the load screens, like a tech tip from Charlie Chaplin that there is no cow level, or George Washington will say that the cake is a lie. There was a joke. What is a golf club's favorite kind of music? Don't think too hard. It's swing.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was
thinking
like ballroom.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking like, you know, four, like F-O-R-E and also the number four.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, I had a fun time goofing around with it.
Well, it's a $10 game. What do you two think?
Buy it.
Yeah. I wouldn't be upset with $10 on this game. Like, it's weird fun. Especially if you can get multiplayer going, as Bree was saying, it's a lot of fun.
Hilarious. I think I want to play more multiplayer.
Weird combos. Yeah, I definitely want to do more multiplayer. That was very fun.
Yeah. All right. Well, Bree, that is it for you. We will let you get going so you could do your birthday stream. What's the final word on your end?
Well, I've gotten a slew of Discord messages I need to check that apparently people are still trying to get connected to Xbox. So I'm going to go live with something and drink weird soda and we're going to have fun. I don't know. We're going to figure it out.
Very cool. Well, you have yourself a wonderful rest of your night.
Thank you once again.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
All right. You guys have a great night.
See you later. All right, next up, Dungeons of Hinterberg, developed by Microbird Games, published by Curve Games, released July 18th on Xbox One, Series X and S, and PC for $29.99. Armed with a sword and a tourist guide, explore the beautiful alpine village of Hinterberg and uncover the magic hidden within its dungeons. Master magic, solve puzzles, slay monsters, all this and more await you in Hinterberg. Aki, tell us about your time with Dungeons of Hinterberg.
Okay. And this, you play as a hot chick, and really, that's the most important thing.
Oh, Jesus.
You have decided that you've been in a rut because you're becoming a lawyer soon, and you're just not sure about life because, you know, being a lawyer probably really sucks, and studying to be a lawyer definitely sucks. So you decide to go on a vacation to Hinterberg. This place, it was a normal city up in the Alps that suddenly portals to another place opened and magic became real. So people have started adventuring into this place. Technology doesn't work out here anymore because of all the magic interference. So you decide this is a great vacation spot. You know, it can only kill me. And hey, my alternative is to go to work a week early, I guess. So you go out there for a vacation to go kill some goblins and shit. And that is the beginning of your story. Stuff starts to go downhill on your first day as an earthquake starts in the middle of a dungeon. which causes it to start to collapse the fuck around you. Great intro to this. And then you quickly start to meet people from the city and other adventurers, and they allow you to unlock new abilities and skills and stuff to help you get through this place and kill more things, because that is your given right as a very bored person on vacation. Have I sold you guys yet?
Yes.
Good, good. The combat is pretty simple. You have an attack button, you have a heavy attack button, you do have some magic that you get to unlock pretty soon into the game. Magic is not something you get to keep permanently in the game. There are different areas that you visit, and each area has magic that you can unlock, but it is only usable in that specific area.
Interesting.
It can be used for combat. I really wouldn't waste my time using it in combat personally. It is really there to help you solve puzzles. I'd much rather whack things with the oversized fuck-off sword that I have than, you know, drop a rock and then make it explode and do very little damage. That's just a personal thing, though. I mean, if you want to try and kill things with exploding rocks, be my guest. You get to refill your mana by beating the shit out of things with your sword. It does take a little bit to refill, so you can't use your magic too much in combat. Out of combat, it doesn't take any mana. Don't know why, but hey, whatever. So you're going to be whacking things a lot with your sword, and your sword is big.
Jacob knows about whacking.
Yeah. Throughout this, you do have a limited period of time that you're on vacation, and the days do count the fuck down. So keep that in mind. You can choose to go into a dungeon, or you can choose to relax that day, and different forms of relaxation can give you certain boosts and different stats that you have, including, you know, sometimes giving you health, but most of the stats are like social stats instead of like, oh, this is going to increase my strength. No, it's like, this increases my familiarity or my relaxation or whatever. And as those level up, you can interact with some of the other people in the city more. And remember that nice little mechanic of you're there for a limited period of time and it is counting down? Yeah, you can't visit everyone and unlock everything, which is infuriating. So there's that to keep track of. So you can play this multiple times and unlock different people and stuff. I don't think it's going to take you too many playthroughs, probably two, maybe three, to get through everyone's tracks. As you get through the game, there are some characters that you do have to interact with that specific day because it unlocks them in the first place. But most of the days, you can choose who you interact with. Or even if you interact with them, because at night you can also choose to do relaxation things to increase your stats. The stats also determine who you can talk with, because one of them might be like, I'll only talk to somebody if they're a really relaxed motherfucker who has a relaxed score of 50. Well, if you have a 20, you ain't very relaxed. Go sit on the couch some more, I guess. Whatever. It is very dating sim-esque when it comes to that stuff. You do have to care about your stats. I really hope that the game allows you to continue playing after that time is over, like a, not a new game plus, but like a post-game type thing, just so I can interact with everybody, but I have a feeling it doesn't, which makes me sad, because I just want to do everything in one playthrough.
I'm the same. I like getting everything when I can.
Exactly. I think originally your character said they're there for 2 weeks. You can visit one dungeon a day, and you can interact with one person at night, basically. And there's 25 dungeons. So, yeah, problematic, folks. So yeah, I really hope that as I get much further into the game, because I've gotten like a weekish into the game, if that. I have not finished this game. I hope that your character ends up being like, nah, I'm not going to go to work yet. I'm just going to stay here for like 5 months or whatever and give you more time. But I that is not how the game is shaping up to be, sadly. And it's like, I want to experience everything this game has because it is a very fun game. I do enjoy it. I enjoy the combat. I enjoy figuring out the ways through the different dungeons. Because all the combat and stuff, there is combat in the standard world, but you also find the portals that bring you into dungeons. And in there, you find treasure chests and more enemies to fight and stuff. And I like exploring those. It's really, really fun. And you can get out of them if they're too strong for you. Problem is, you're fucked for that day now, because you've spent time to go in there. It has put you forward. Yeah. So if you leave before you beat it, well, now you still need to beat it, but you've just lost a day. Have fun. Thankfully, I didn't really find that to be a huge issue because, like, there's like 5 different dungeons that are all like, this is level 1 dungeons. So that's like 5 days of you don't have to be good at this game, at least. all while you're getting a ton of money to allow you to buy better gear and stuff. Like, at this point, I think my character, by like the end of the second day, I think my character was still like a level 1 or level 2 character, but I had gear that basically made me level 5. Nice. So I was like, I'm still going to go into the level 1 stuff because I want to do them all. But realistically, I could probably skip a bunch of these and go straight into the level 3 area. I don't have the health for it, but by God, I can kick the shit out of everything real easy right now. That my only real issue is that there is a finite amount of time and everything takes time. And that really sucks because I like the game so much. I want to experience everything. And they're like, no. And I'm like, why?
Timber is sharing something that they read in a review that says we spent approximately 19 hours completing the game with more than 60% of the relationships maxed out. So total time to beat will depend on how invested players are in the various storylines.
Nice.
So it seems like a chunky game. It is $29.99. Give us your thoughts on all of that.
I am so 100% for this. I am very biased, though. I've been waiting for this game for over a year. I really like the character. I like how they interact with other people. And the combat and exploration is pretty fun. Sometimes a little basic, but extremely fun. And again, there is a lot of stuff to do in it.
Yeah.
I just hope that I can actually do literally everything there is to do in the game in one playthrough, because I don't want to have to play through it 2 entire times to like unlock all the different abilities that, because as you interact with people, they each have abilities that they unlock, and there's different levels of relationship with each of them, and each level unlocks something else for you. So I'm like, I just want to unlock everything and I want to go and beat all of the dungeons. Why? Because that's the kind of consumer whore I am.
Yay.
Let me do it.
Speaking of consumer horror, I actually bought this before it came out. There was a pre-order bonus that it came with a sword from the X-Blade series.
Ooh, I didn't know that.
I pre-ordered awesome. Just to make sure I could get that, because I don't know if that bonus is going to be sold later or not. It was one of those deals, so I just made sure to,
that sounds cool.
To get my pre-order in so I could get that. So I'm happy to hear that the game turned out good.
Oh, that's so good.
Any other, I guess the last thought on it is, if you're on the fence, it's on Game Pass.
Yeah, it's totally worth looking at. If nothing else, I think most people are probably going to like it, though. So I say it's just straight up, just buy it. It's good. It's worth the money.
Cool. All right, next up, Ashes, developed by Yanmo Games, released...
Is Jim's audio messing up for anyone else?
Nope. Sounds fine to me.
Great.
So yeah. It's your... Try disconnecting and reconnecting.
Okay.
Have you tried poking it with a stick?
Jiggle the handle.
No, he's gone. He has to fiddle with the dongle a little bit.
Yeah, jiggle the dongle. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear us?
Yeah.
Yay.
Okay.
Does he still sound fucked up, or is he okay now?
He sounds okay now, but Joe is the only one that
fucked up. But
he always sounds fucked up.
What stuff?
Yay!
Yay!
Sorry, I'm just fucking with Jacob a bit.
Fuck you. Also, I have some late breaking news that we need to discuss. The FTC has filed a complaint against Microsoft about the increase on Xbox Game Pass. In their complaint, they write, Microsoft's price increases and product degradation, combined with Microsoft's reduced investments and output and product quality via employee layoffs, are hallmarks of a firm exercising market power post-merger. Importantly, Microsoft's actions are inconsistent with Microsoft's representations below. Microsoft's price increase coincided with adding Call of Duty to Game Pass's most expensive tier and discontinuing the console tier will happen shortly before releasing COD's newest game. Below, Microsoft promised that the acquisition would benefit consumers by making Call of Duty available on Microsoft's Game Pass on the day it is released on console, with no price increase for the service based on acquisition. Microsoft's post-merger actions, thus vindicate the congressional designs of preliminary halting mergers to fully evaluate their likely competitive actions and judicial skepticism with promises inconsistent with a firm's economic incentive.
I.e., they lied like a bunch of dickheads like all big companies do.
Oh, yeah.
So basically, Microsoft is being Microsoft, and they're getting called on their bullshit.
Yeah.
Yep.
I still don't think they mentioned the anti-competitive stuff at the end of that. And that really has, I don't think, has anything to do with this at all. But this is still an issue. So good on them for calling it out.
Yeah, that is pretty damn wild.
Well, we'll see if anything happens in the next week. We'll discuss it more next week, I'm sure. But for now, we have three more games to talk about. Let's move on. Next game is Ashes, developed and published by Yanmo Games, released June 23rd on Steam Early Access for $24.99. This horror game inspired by Chinese folklore offers an enthralling journey through the depths of the underworld. As you delve deeper, you'll unravel hidden secrets veiled in the darkness. Doc, tell us about your time with Ashes.
Well, trying to think how to start this off. I am going
at the beginning.
Yeah. Well, there's a bit to unpack, and I don't want to shit too hard on it, but I'm going to basically review this as it is and not for what it could be, because I noticed that a lot of, like, for example, Steam reviews have a nasty habit of being like, I'm going to give this game a thumbs up because it could be a totally amazing game.
You got to talk about what's there now.
Yeah.
The potential is something that we can like, kick around ideally, but you know, we have to rate it on what's there now, and it is early access.
And that's,
it could be wrong.
Yeah. So as it, I'm trying to think of, oh man, there's so much to unpack. So the game in and of itself is which area do I want to start with? I don't want to skip anything, but I'll just get to what the game's about. The game is what I like to call a survival craft light. In that you can do, it's open world, there's base building, there's cooking and all that kind of stuff, but it's not hardcore in that you have to constantly keep a hunger meter or a thirst meter up or all that or whatever. Basically, it's very much in the vein of like Valheim, where you can cook food, you eat the food, and the food will give you various buffs for X amount of time. And that's pretty much the extent of it. It is definitely steeped in Chinese mythology, and graphically, I feel that it's on the right path. It has like a lot of interesting stuff to it. There are skills involved, and it kind of does the skill up by doing it. So basically, if you run around like, you know, holding the sprint key for 10 minutes, you'll get a couple levels in sprinting, which reduces how much endurance you spend running around. Yeah. You know, sit there, hop in place for 10 minutes and you'll level up your jumping and you'll, you know, that kind of thing. If you make a shield and you practice, you know, you go find some low level critter to have him chomp at you, you'll level up your blocking, you know, et cetera, so on and so forth. So that's how it goes. And one of the things that I thought was kind of interesting was that it has like a three hot bar system that you can very easily cycle through, which comes in very handy because eventually you're going to have like a lot of stuff and things that you're going to want to cycle through on the fly, you know, especially like in combat. You know, sometimes I can't even tell you how many times I went into a combat situation like 3 seconds before my food buffs ran out. And then I watch my health bar disintegrate to like a handful of pixels, and then I have to run, quickly eat 3 square meals, and then jump back into combat again. So I would actually survive, but that's more on me. Yeah.
Skyrim and its cheese wheels, yo.
Yeah. One little nuance to the inventory system, and this is just like a very, very nitpicky thing but I feel it's worth mentioning that I really liked, was that if you go to a storage unit and you put, you know, you dump crafting materials, food ingredients, etc., so on and so forth in there, there is a button that will automatically pull everything that's already in the storage from your inventory. So you don't have to sit there and like, so if this chest only contains food items, if this chest only contains building materials, you don't have to sit there and single click every single fucking item in your inventory to make sure it goes into the right box. You just hit this hotkey and everything that's already in the chest will get immediately yanked out of your inventory. So it makes sorting through your shit, you know, like if you spend 10 minutes running around collecting everything under the sun, you can immediately just go bop, 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 bop. Everything's in storage. Everything's sorted the way you like it. And your inventory is clear. It's probably one of the strange. It's one of those things with like, yeah, it's one of those things where like, if you think about it, it's like, why the fuck hasn't this been a thing by now? And anyone that's played survival craft games will understand what I'm talking about, because nothing sucks more than spending 20 fucking minutes sorting through 3 dozen different items that you've been gathering and all that kind of shit. But I thought that was a really nice little feature that I liked. The graphics. I won't say the graphics, but the aesthetics, the style, the design is pretty solid. I like it. There's some interesting creatures and critters that you'll encounter. And I feel that the ambience of the overworld is nice and spoopy. Before I get into that, I might as well get into the story itself. So the story is basically you play a character. It could be either male or female. And it turns out that your family has a curse, and your great-grandmother had the curse, and she died on, I think it was like when she turned 30. I think that's what the deal is. You have until you turn 30. Your father had it and died, and your brother had it and died, and then apparently this is all signified by this strange tattoo that appears on your neck, and your character has it. So basically, you start the game by going through your grandmother's stuff, and you realize that wherever this curse came from, it happened up on this fictional mountain where your ancestors came from. So in a very Silent Hill-ish fashion, your character will be driving along, and all of a sudden there's something in the road, you veer off, you crash, and when you recover, you're in spoopy, crazy alternate dimension Mountainville. And your car disappears, and civilization's gone, and basically you're just kind of wandering around. And eventually you'll, like, kind of happen upon some buildings and stuff. And one thing that's really interesting is that, like, as you'll run across various articles of paper or notes and stuff, and you add it to a journal, which slowly collects and builds, and whenever there's, like, a very significant item of interest, it'll be highlighted in red. And usually that's kind of like this is what you should be working on, this is what you should be doing. And eventually you'll find a map fragment that'll tell you where to go, and when you go to the overworld or overmap, it'll show up. Also, on a side note, all of the runs are seated, so things aren't always in the same place. Everything gets juggled around, and you know the biomes are roughly in the same general areas because it kind of has like a donut ring kind of thing. You know, you start out in the middle, then you slowly work your way further out to the fringe of the map, and the further out you go, the more difficult and crazy things get. Now, as you pursue these clues, you kind of slowly start to piece together the story. And at first, I didn't quite see the relevance of what the fuck was going on. It was just like, okay, well, this is a thing I guess I'm investigating, and all right, sure. All right, I'll check this out. And then eventually it slowly starts to tie into your family's curse. And I don't want to get too into it, because in case anyone decides to play it, I don't want to like drop spoilers, but it's one of those things where it seems irrelevant at first, but after a while you kind of start to think, oh, I can kind of see how this is slowly starting to segue itself into my character's problem that I'm trying to solve. Also, the music's surprisingly good. I was kind of surprised when I loaded it up for the first time. The music on the main menu screen, like, it almost feels like it goes a little too hard. Like, it was really bombastic, almost, like, not quite classic Danny Elfman, but it was, like, it was a little, like, I don't want to say over the top, but for a game that's kind of Silent Hill-ish, it seemed a little too expressive, but, production quality was solid, so I'm not going to fault it. But, yeah, strangely enough, I was actually kind of... My curiosity was piqued about the story, because once I began to realize how this could lead into my character's problem, I was kind of keen on trying to figure it out. Unfortunately, now we're going to start kind of getting into the hangups. Yes, this is early access, and in my not so humble opinion, it feels like a very glorified beta, because there are a lot of issues. First off, optimization. If you eat enough food to crank up your endurance bar and you start sprinting through that forest, the game is going to struggle to keep up. And you're going to get all sorts of lag spikes, lag stutters. I actually had the game crash, and that's another issue in and of itself. Instability. I've had the game crash quite a few times. Once it crashed... Yeah. Oh. It crashed when it was trying to load a post-boss fight cutscene.
Oh no!
So
did you had lose to go the back boss through. Fight?
Yes, I did.
Oh,
because after I went through and did it again, it autosaves after the cutscene.
Fuck.
But the boss fight wasn't too big of a hassle, and that's going to be another issue. But let's see here. Where's my notes? But yeah, they're. Oh, and another issue that showed up was the fact that sometimes when I start the game, a lot of really... There will be, like, graphical HUD issues. Like, HUD elements will appear when they're not supposed to, and they will stay there until you shut down the game. Even when you go to the main menu, those HUD elements will be on the screen. And you have to close down the game, start it back up. I also noticed a lot of really buggy rendering. There were, like, terrain elements that were just floating up in midair. There is a particular monster, for lack of a better word, that basically will cockblock access. Like, basically, like, if you go up to, like, a hut or something, or a door, all these spectral arms will kind of pop out of it and basically attack you, and you have to figure out how to weaken it first before you can kill it. The issue is that sometimes it will render, like, a floor higher than the door is. So it'll be just sitting there floating in midair, half-clipping through the roof. But it's still technically there on the door, so if you walk up to it, you'll still get hurt. Another issue that I had was that at a certain point in the game, the sky becomes red. And I think it's kind of meant to, you know, amp up, you know, add a bit of thematic... ominous stuff, you know, tone to it. But the problem is that it's so red, it washes everything really heavy. So it feels like you're playing with a really, really, really intrusive red filter.
Yeah.
And it unfortunately kind of dampens the subtle nuances between the biomes. And if, like, you didn't have a giant, you know, title bar pop up whenever you change biomes, you probably wouldn't notice if you changed most of them. Because you have the starting fields, and then you kind of get to a bamboo forest, and then you have this foggy area. But the problem is like, there's so much fucking red just drowning everything out. You really can't, you know, it almost all blends together. And it's just really visually annoying after a while. One thing that I found to be very interesting, and I'm not sure how I feel about it, is that there's these little areas called Cursed Grounds. And it's kind of like a weird little mini game. Basically, there's like a giant kind of like a temple building and a couple of smaller structures around it. And you walk up to a shrine and you activate it. And the only way I can describe this is that it's basically a diet caffeine free Dead by Daylight minigame. Because once you activate the shrine, basically a kind of like a mini boss enemy will pop up and he will be invincible. And in order to remove his invincibility, you have to run around and play a little mini game to activate three nodes. And the mini game is exactly like the generator mini game in Dead by Daylight, if you know what I'm talking about. Basically, there's like a little needle that spins around a circle, and you have to land it within a specific area in order to make, you know, increase your progress. And then once you activate all three nodes, he becomes vulnerable, and then you can just straight up attack him as like a normal mob. But also, there are like closets that you can hide in to duck and avoid him, like Dead by Daylight. Like, it's almost uncanny how much like that game this is. But anyways, there's that. Speaking of combat, they kind of do sort of like a very simplified Soulsborne kind of thing. Like, you have combat dodge, and you can iframe through attacks, and in some instances you have to do it. But it's a little clunky, it's a little janky here and there. The AI for the enemies isn't really that smart. Like, the first mini boss that I downed, I basically cheesed because I was in a building and I closed the doors behind me because I didn't want things sneaking in while I'm trying to solve puzzles and shit. And there are some interesting little puzzles and stuff in there that I found. But yeah, so I went in, solved the puzzle, and I summoned the boss. But the funny thing is that he was summoned outside the building. And he couldn't get inside the building because I had the door closed. Apparently this guy doesn't know how to use doors while he's undead. So while he was sitting there humping the door trying to attack me, I could basically just attack him through the doors and kill him. Let's see. I thought there was something else I wanted to mention. Well, one thing I did notice is that every time you beat a mini-boss, the overworld conditions escalate. Like, when you first start the game, the most you really run into are like these little evil dogs and the occasional bird that will do a dive bomb and fly off. But the more mini-bosses you attack and beat, the more shit that ends up showing up in the overworld. Like, when you beat the first mini-boss, the specific ghost creatures and stuff you fight around his area start showing up more randomly in the overworld, you know, in the open at large. And after you defeat the next guy, the stuff you find around him starts showing up a lot more, and so on and so forth. I did not beat the game, or at least not the main narrative, and I'm not sure how to interpret it, because usually after you beat a mini-boss, there'll be like a piece of information that basically clues you in to the next location you're supposed to go to. And I got to a point where I defeated a mini-boss, and I got a scrap of information, and it says to go to this location, but no location showed up on my map, and I have literally no clue where to go. I mean, I can kind of sit there, run around, and explore, but I don't know if I missed something or if something might have bugged and not dropped, because I've had that happen too. There will be certain pieces and articles that may or may not spawn, because I noticed that I got to a certain point where I was looking through my journal. I noticed that there's a big, huge blank spot on my page where a couple of like news articles were supposed to go that I was supposed to find. And I couldn't find them during one stream, so I didn't think about it. And then the next night when I streamed some more, I went back to that location, and those items, you know, were suddenly there. And it's like, I know those should have been there the first time I went. So, yeah.
That's one of the beauties of being in early access, is that shit kind of gets under the radar until it's brought up by the people playing it. So it, in essence, early access, you are the beta tester. But let's talk pricing on this. Right now, it is at $24.99. It is early access. Is this something that people should invest in now? Should they wishlist it? Should they keep an eye on it? Or is this something that we should just ignore? What are your thoughts?
Well, after I got a good chunk of playtime in, I did a little digging, because usually I try not to do too much research before playing the game, because I don't want to get biased or colored or anything like that. And I did notice that with each hot patch update, there is usually like a laundry list of stuff that the developers have addressed, and they seem to be working on it at a fairly consistent clip. So they are working on it. This isn't like, I don't want to say shovelware, but it isn't like, oh, we got it out there, fuck it, let's just make as much money as it can and then work on, you know. It does look like they are proactively working on it. So for right now, I would, like, if it sounds interesting, if you're into that kind of style of game, I would wishlist it and just keep tabs on it for a couple of months. Let it cook, see how much more, how much more is done with it, and whether or not it comes up to, you know, parity. It's a little tricky finding reviews, too, because last I went to the Steam page, there were only two reviews. One was good, and one was negative.
Hmm.
And the reason being is I noticed that it said that these are only two out of about 300 reviews. The reason being is all the other reviews are in Chinese. Because the game is from a Chinese developer, and it's tricky to find on Steam because they title it using the Chinese characters. I forgot what the writing system is called.
Yeah.
Because if you put Ashes into, you know, Steam, you're probably going to find like 8 games called Ashes, but not this one.
Yeah, you got to find the one with the capital H.
Yeah, well, even then, it's still tricky. Because when I look for it, I just open it up from my game page, you know, not actually the store page, but and I kind of glanced at a few of the reviews, and basically, you know, most of the negative reviews are basically what I said. You know, it's still really rough cut. There's still a lot of polishing needs to be done, but right now, I would say wishlist it and let it cook.
Cool.
Check back in a few months, see if it's, you know, cleaned up and polished and all that kind of stuff, and call it from there. But all at the moment, I wouldn't say it's worth the price.
That's fair. Well, if there's any significant updates or changes, maybe we'll revisit it in the future. But for now, we got to move on. Next game, Agatha Christie, The ABC Murders. Developed by Artifact Studio and Sneaky Box Studios, published by Microids, released July 4th on Series X and S and PS5 for $19.99. Your weapon is your knowledge. Your wits will be put to the ultimate test. The ABC Murders is an adventure and investigation game adopted from the classic Agatha Christie novel. Aki and Jacob, both of you played this. Who wants to start?
Aki, do you have experience with the original version of this?
No, I don't think so. If I do, it's been a long while.
Okay. Because I was going to say, if you did, then I was going to say you should definitely go first.
It is basically the same game.
Yeah, so this is basically change. Just a re-release for the Series X and S and the PS5. I don't know if there's anything like new or noteworthy to mention.
Doesn't seem like it, because
No, it's the same game. I think they may have increased the graphical look of it a little bit to make it look better for the new systems, but that's it.
It's an achievement stack, mainly. Let's be honest. A lot of people are going to do this either for the achievement stack or if they didn't get it on Xbox One. So let's just start off. What is the game?
In this, you play as a Belgium detective, and he is here to solve some murders. He gets a letter at his abode, I do believe, or maybe his office. I can't remember anymore.
At his office. Well, I think it's both.
Probably. He's the Belgium Sherlock, folks. That's what this is supposed to be. He is Belgium Sherlock. Is that
it's at this like estate of mansions. So I I assume that he has like a floor of one of these mansions or something like that.
Probably. He's an uppity rich shit. And it is basically, you know, it says, hey, I know you're bored and you have nothing to do right now. So, hey, why don't you pay attention to this place on this day? Signed, ABC. And on that day, you find out there's a murder. So you go and solve it, because that's what you do. And then you're like, okay, time to go hunt this person down, because clearly this person who sent me this letter is the murderer. Now I just have to figure out who they are. The game is afoot. Oh, wait, no, that's Sherlock Holmes. Whatever the equivalency in Belgium is.
You have to use your little gray cells.
Yes, he is very obsessed with that. And yeah, so throughout this game, you're basically walking around, finding places to interact with. Some of them, he will just do slight thing, talk about what it is very slightly. Other times it'll zoom in and you have to find specific clues on here. And you always know when you're close to it, because time will start to slow down and it'll seem to zoom in a little bit. And once you're hovering over it long enough, he'll talk about it. And then, you know, almost all the rest of it is usually pretty simple puzzle solving. This is not made to be incredibly difficult to beat. Some of the puzzles are a little finicky, but
oh, some of those puzzles are complete ass, and I could see them working better on PC. Okay, like where you can have your face up to the screen, but I've been having to use a game guide that was written back in 2016 to make it past some of these puzzles, because it's just like,
and it was probably originally written for the Steam version of the game.
Yeah, like, yeah, the original Xbox One version. But it is the most obtuse stuff that I would never, like, you know, oh well, if you play with the legs of the clock and you like find the key that's hidden behind, like, you know, anytime that there's a puzzle, I'm just like, oh good, I'm not going to figure this one out. Like, I've been doing great with everything else in this game, but it's just like, once it's like, oh, it's a thinking puzzle. All right, let me just fire up Bing so I can also get my 5 Microsoft points.
Guys, as much issue as Jacob was having with this, we have to remember a couple things. One, Jacob isn't very smart.
Shut up.
And two, chances are if you're getting this game, you probably like the Sherlock games, and their puzzles are significantly fucking harder. So you can manage these without help 90% of the time, probably.
Screw you. I hate you.
It's just a fact. These are basically the you know, children's first Sherlock games. And I am very used to playing the Sherlock games. I am sorry.
You know what? No, I will actually disagree on that. This one I'm actually finding a bit harder than the, what was it? Like the first murder? What did they call it? Or the first case?
Oh, wow. You're talking about old Sherlock games, aren't you? Jesus.
No, I'm still talking about Agatha Christie.
Oh, what one was that?
That was another Poirot game.
Well, yeah, all of the Agatha Christie games are.
I don't know. They might make Mrs. Marple. I don't know. I haven't looked it up.
Anyway. The puzzles aren't too bad if you're used to, like, Sherlock games. These aren't too bad. They are sometimes a little obtuse. I will admit to that. Some of them are a little obtuse.
Marple.
Other than that, lots of it is just you talking with people and going through dialogue trees, basically. Jacob, are you okay?
I don't think there's any Miss Marple games.
I'm looking it up.
God damn it.
Miss Marple, insect.
Aki, just continue on. What's going on in this game?
Sadly, I don't have a ton to say about it because I'm pretty sure there's only three cases in this game. And the first one is, you know, your tutorial one, basically. Because the ABC person is doing ABC, and I assume they were going to go all the way down to Z, and they, well, that didn't happen.
Okay, so, well, let's wrap this up then. The game is a $20 game. It's a re-release of the game on Xbox One and PS4. For the people who are new to the series, is this worth getting into? And for the people who already played it, is it worth revisiting for a stack?
Yes and yes.
I would say yes and yes. This is a Microids release, right?
Yes.
All right, Microids, if you're listening, there's no Miss Marple games out there. There is an entire, you know, set of gamers out there that you just are not reaching. You're welcome. I'll email you my consulting fee later.
You will never get a reply.
I know.
Any other thoughts on Agatha Christie, the ABC Murder?
They're fantastic, just like all of the other Agatha Christie games. Get it?
Yeah, I really dug it. It's plenty fun, and like, I mean, now that I know that this is just like a straight stack of the previous one, I'm looking forward to going back and completing the original, which I do actually own. So
do I.
Yeah, good chance to revisit it. Check it out, $20.
All right, one final game to talk about tonight is RPM, Road Punk Mayhem, developed by Panda Indie Studio and East Asia Soft, published by East Asia Soft, released July 17th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $6.99. Get ready for a high-octane adventure in RPM, Road Punk Mayhem, a top-down vertical shoot-em-up that combines intense bullet hell mayhem with cel-shaded style inspired by arcade genre classics. RPM Road Punk Mayhem lets you choose from three pilots of questionable sanity, just like my co-hosts, as you cruise through the post-apocalyptic stages, laying waste to enemy vehicles. Jacob, tell us about RPM.
So, first thing to know about RPM is that if sometimes video games with like flashing lights or TV or movies with flashing lights happen, this game does not have a warning about possibly inducing seizures, so heads up. But anywho, so RPM is a top-down bullet hell shooter that kind of sets itself up in this Mad Max world, but the game is so punk that it will not tell you what the controls are. Figure it out yourself, it sneers. And I'm just like, okay, so I've been mashing buttons and hoping for the best, and I think I figured out the control scheme, but I'm not going to lie, it's just include the instructions and tell us like what the heck we're supposed to be doing, because I'm not going to lie, this currently feels like a game that is more style than substance, and it just, like, honestly, it's been just a very frustrating playing experience because I don't really get that far in it.
Well, what is it? You didn't really explain what it is.
So, as I said, so it's a top-down shooter, and it's set up in this kind of, like, Mad Max kind of world. And you can choose one of three drivers, and like some of them have better abilities than others, like, you know, one has better life, one has better weapons, like that kind of stuff. And it's just like you're going through this wasteland and you have to fire your weapon, and you may have more than one weapon at a time, and you also have to collect these flaming skulls, but it also seems like they might be damaging you, and you just have to keep dealing with enemies over and over again. And even though the game says that you can keep playing as a continue, it really only lets you continue two more times before fully ending your game. So
I think this is one of those games that doesn't necessarily have an ending. It's just a score chaser.
All right, but then
the store page is like, how long can you survive the wasteland?
Right, but the thing is that you don't make it past like the first boss. Like, it, I don't know. I wasn't having a lot of fun with it, to be honest. Mm. Like, I think that there's, like, it's one of those things where it's just like, I feel like there's good stuff here, but it needs a lot of tweaking.
Well, it's $6.99. What are your thoughts on that?
I'd wait for a sale. Like, it's just a frustrating playthrough, and I'm sure if you put enough time in it, you can get all, like, you can get all 1,000 achievement points, but yeah. You're not going to be having fun while you do it.
Well, for the first 2 weeks, it's $5.59. What are your thoughts on that?
I'd wait for a better sale.
I mean, 20% is not bad.
Mm. Mm.
Oh, well, they can't all be winners. But that is it for this episode. We made it through. Ian, thanks for coming on, hanging out with us, keeping us company. Mm-hmm. Big thanks to Bree for coming on.
Happy birthday to you.
On her birthday. Big thanks to her. Thanks to Jacob and Aki, I guess, for being here. Music. We've played the one-ups the past few episodes.
Whoa. Who won the video game?
I usually pick the winners after the show, but I guess we'll pick the winner show.
I mean, you announced the contest during the show.
So all right, well, then you guys got like 10 seconds to get your entries in, and I'm going to draw a winner. So, get your entries in. Music this episode. We've been playing the one-ups a lot lately, so we're going to play some more of the one-ups. Ian, do you have a favorite from the one-ups that you would like us to play?
I'm a sucker for a classic Hellmarch.
Hellmarch. Sounds good to me. So Hellmarch from the one-ups is coming up next. Let us draw a winner for this contest. Giveaway. Close. Giveaway. Draw. The winner is Shih Tzu on You is the winner of the giveaway. Should Shih Tzu.
Congrats, mate.
There you go. Shih Tzu on You. Congrats. I will send you the code in just a minute. Big thanks again to Outright Games for hooking us up with the code to give away. Hellmarch is coming up. Anyone have any final words to end the show?
I'm going to go talk at once. Now.
Yeah, I can't think of anything. I don't know.
Well, I guess the everyone on the spot.
The final words. Hey, Bree.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.